You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Western monarch butterflies are known for their brilliant black and orange wings. And according to data from the conservation group, the Xerces Society, the numbers of monarch butterflies in coastal California have dropped by 86% just since 2017. Monarch butterflies spend time in Idaho, but they normally winter in California. Researchers think that pesticides, habitat losses, and more frequent and severe droughts are the primary reasons for this decline. And if something isn't done, this insect could be gone in the next couple of decades. Joining me live in studio are Ross Witten, Idaho Fish and Game wildlife biologist, Dusty Perkins, an associate biology professor at the College of Western Idaho. And joining us on the telephone is Beth Waterbury. She is a retired fish and game biologist. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
So first off, I just would like to understand the role that this particular butterfly plays in our environment. And who would like to take that one? Ross?
Yeah, I can take that. So it's a migratory species. So it moves from California and Mexico up into Idaho. So it's only here for part of its life cycle. But that part of its life cycle is incredibly important. If it wasn't grown here in Idaho and other states in the West, it wouldn't be able to make that incredible migration. So it's a very important piece of its entire life cycle here in Idaho.
And what makes the monarch butterfly, you know, so important? I mean, what does it provide to our environment, Dusty?
Well, Gemma, to be frank, monarchs probably aren't super critical to our environment and its function, but they're part of a really diverse network of pollinators that do some critical jobs in the ecosystem, helping to pollinate plants, helping to get pollen from one plant to the next, enhancing genetic diversity of those populations, and enhancing the amount of fruit that those things can produce. For humans, that's important because we produce food with a lot of these flowering plants.
Oh, so if that goes away, I mean, then there's a trickle-down effect.
And this decline in monarchs is really an indicator of what's happening to a broader group of pollinators and insects across North America and the globe.
And Beth, is this something that you saw in your work with fish and game over the years where you would see certain declines with insects?
Well, Gemma, we actually we didn't have very much information about, the distribution or abundance of either milkweeds or monarchs in Idaho up until just a few years ago. So we really didn't have a baseline from which to really track declines, which is why in 2016 and 2017, Idaho Fish and Game completed a statewide survey. And what we did was we discovered that milkweeds, we have five different native milkweeds in the state, and breeding monarchs were found widely distributed across the state at elevations generally under 5,000 feet, and that in favorable years, which the years that we surveyed happened to be favorable years for monarch production, we found that Idaho was a major contributor to the western population of monarchs.
So then how does this all play into then seeing such a huge decline in the state of California?
I think what we saw in California, what we're seeing in California, like in 2018, we saw very few monarchs make it up to Idaho. So it seemed like there was some issue going on in California, the Central Valley of California, where that first generation of monarchs, kind of in that relay pattern that we get, you know, up to when they eventually get to Idaho, was somehow short-stopped. And we don't know really what was driving that, if it was, weather conditions, a drought situation, smoke from wildfires, which, were occurring early in the year, or if it was, if it's a general lack of early season milkweeds available in the Central Valley of California. So that was, in 2018, we anticipated that, we were going to see low population levels because you didn't have that influx of monarchs coming into, the states like the Intermountain states like Idaho or Eastern Washington, So it was something kind of anticipated, but maybe not to the degree of decline that we ended up seeing this winter.
And so, Ross, when are they normally here in our state? When would we normally see these butterflies?
They usually show up, at least in southern Idaho, they'll show up about early June. So kind of that first week in June, they'll show up in southern Idaho, and they'll be here into September and October. So they'll go through, the first generation will show up here from Southern California. They'll lay eggs. Another generation will take place. And then a second generation that's born here in Idaho will actually migrate back to Central and Southern California.
So when some scientists say, you know, if this decline doesn't stop, I mean, and it was dramatic when we look at the numbers in California, that the monarch butterfly could go extinct in the next couple of decades. Do you think that's a real concern?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You know, one of the seminal papers that came out last year was this population viability analysis, and that kind of drew the line in the sand at 30,000 individuals as the minimum number of monarchs needed to sustain the population in the long term. And the numbers in coastal California are below that number. You know, Thanksgiving counts said about 28,000. Mm-hmm. New Year's counts were lower than that.
And it's interesting, even though you said, Dusty, that it's not necessarily critical to our environment, but they're a pollinator. Mm-hmm. So we also have issues with bees that we've seen. So even though the monarch butterfly by itself may not play as critical of a role, how does all of this work, though, when we see declines with other pollinators?
Yeah, it's an indicator for sure. So it's just one of those iconic species that everyone has seen. A lot of people have raised monarchs, released monarchs growing up. So it's an iconic species that represents what's happening to a lot of other insects in the environment. Some of those more critical species, like Dusty mentioned earlier, those bees that are crucial in food production. Mm-hmm. Almost a third of all the bites that you put in your mouth have some relationship to a bee pollinating that food source.
I'm speaking with Ross Witten with Idaho Fish and Game, Dusty Perkins with CWI, and retired fish and game biologist Beth Waterbury. We're talking about the monarch butterfly decline. So are there things that people can do? As you just said, Ross, you know, people used to raise these in their, you know, in their backyards. I mean, is that something that people should think about doing, and would it really, you know, make a difference?
I can answer that.
Okay.
So right now, captive rearing is not a conservation strategy for monarch butterflies for a variety of reasons. The spread of disease is one of the issues, but protecting habitat is really probably the most critical step that we can take. And citizens can make their own habitat. Milkweeds are available at a variety of nurseries. There are native milkweeds from Idaho that you can buy here in Boise. You can create pollinator habitat in your yard. You can educate your neighbors, your family, about the importance of milkweed to monarchs. This is the only group of plants that monarchs can survive on. The females lay their eggs on those plants. That's the food for the larva. So the problem here is that monarchs don't have enough of the habitat that they need.
And a lot of that just goes into when we talk about growth all the time, right? And you look at the Treasure Valley in particular. So when you have more growth, milkweed, other plants get taken out of areas.
Yeah.
So is this a viable option then, is go buy a milkweed and plant it?
Yes.
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 Another, I think, really critical aspect of that, on the, kind of individual level, like Dusty said, you can make your own monarch habitat, and it doesn't take you that long. And part of that, as well as planting milkweeds, is putting in like a really nice, diverse assortment of floral nectar resources. And, I might even kind of give the Xerces Society website a little bit of a plug here. They have on their website, which is xerces.org, spelled with an X, xerces.org, they have these great monarch nectar plant guides that people can download, and they have great recommendations for these nectar-rich flowers and then the appropriate milkweed host plant for the area, because people should try and plant the milkweed species that are native to their region in Idaho. I might add one other thing is that, important as it is to, keep planting milkweed, it's also really important to protect the existing habitat that we have in the state. And we have some really important habitat areas, such as our state wildlife management areas, particularly in the Snake River Plain, you know, Fort Boise, CJ Strike, Sterling, Market Lake, Mud Lake, and then national wildlife refuges such as Deer Flat, Minidoka, Camas, all the way east over to Bear Lake. They have, they host beautiful assemblages of plants that are great monarch habitat. And having those is kind of assurance that we, are protecting and keeping monarch habitat on our landscape in Idaho.
And talking about it and letting people know that, A, this is an issue, but also the things that, as Beth, you said, with the natural habitat environments. But people want to sometimes make a difference. So to know that you can do something in your own backyard has to help people out, too.
You can also get involved in a lot of local conservation efforts. Golden Eagle Audubon Society, City of Boise, Intermountain Bird Observatory are all doing habitat restoration to benefit pollinators, birds, and butterflies along the Boise River corridor.
This is really good information, and I appreciate all of you coming in and talking about this today and getting us more educated on this. My guests today have been Ross Whitten with Idaho Fish and Game, Dusty Perkins, an associate biology professor at the College of Western Idaho, and retired fish and game biologist Beth Waterbury by phone. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gemma.